Well, it may be summer vacation, but we on WICC are already looking ahead to the fall. No, because I'm not ready to go back to school. I have a 7-year-old. Trust me, I'm loving summer vacation. But I do want to focus on some of the education spending that came through at the end of the legislative session and the impact it is going to have in the next school year, specifically in Bridgeport. Joining us now on the show is State Representative Chris Rosario, who represents the 128th District, which is Bridgeport. And Representative Rosario, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on the program. Good morning.
Of course. First and foremost, would you say that this was one of your legislative priorities, was to get a lot of money for Bridgeport schools during session?
First and foremost, I just want to thank the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education, and most importantly, all the parents. We had tons of forums throughout before the legislative session and during the legislative session, and they let us know that education funding was a priority, and the delegation was laser focused on making sure that we got the most amount of money that we've ever gotten from the state of Connecticut for Bridgeport education funding.
Yeah, and remind people, Representative Rosario, how much money Bridgeport was getting from the state. And again, this is a one-time amount, but how much did they get allotted?
$25 million.
Okay. So my understanding, though, was Hartford still made more, which I don't understand that. I know you're focused on Bridgeport, but it kind of annoyed me that Hartford still got more money than Bridgeport did, quite frankly. Biggest city, more needs, frankly.
One of the knocks that, you know, just Bridgeport in general, we've always gotten is that, you know, Hartford's always gotten more. For many years, the actual municipality gave more money directly to the Board of Ed, whereas the city of Bridgeport, the local administration flat funded it. But this year, with the partnership with the local administration, they gave some more money from their end, which helped our cause to ask for more money at the state level. So this year was a full unit. We worked in unison, in concert with our mayor's administration, with the delegation, as well as our Board of Ed.
Okay. And again, Bridgeport did make more money than most other school districts did. I think it was number two behind Hartford, if I can remember the amounts correctly. I believe education spending, they got the second highest amount in the state, I think.
Correct.
Okay. The thing I'm concerned about, and I don't know if you feel this way, Representative Rosario, is that it's a one-time payment. It's not something that we can rely on every single year. Do you worry about that?
Well, listen, it's something that we worry about each and every session. I know the governor has put together a blue ribbon panel to look at education funding. I personally believe we don't need a blue ribbon panel. We know what the issues and the problems are. City of Bridgeport, our students have been underfunded for even back when I went to Bridgeport Public Schools. But one of the things that we're focused on, and I'm proud to serve along this delegation, we're going to tackle that this next session. It's one of our priorities, should we get reelected this fall, is to make sure that we look at that that formula and that we get as much money as possible to not just throw money at the problem, but to also, you know, to make sure that our students have the resources that they need. I know the state has mentioned of taking on some of the burden of funding some of the special education costs. Interested to hear what the governor's plan is on that and work with him on that. If that provides some more relief to funding for our students, then I'm all ears to it.
So, Representative Rosario, you say you're going to tackle the ECS formula? Is that what you're talking about?
Correct. I know that's going to be a top priority this next legislative session.
And is that just because of the Blue Ribbon Commission? Because I'm kind of confused why it wasn't a top priority this go-around, this past session.
Well, you know, when you're dealing with a short session, you know, there's a limited, finite amount of time that we have to work on these issues. But we were able to get the money that the district so desperately needed. And we're looking forward to, you know, we always fight for these issues. We're always looking to increase funding to the city of Bridgeport. Since I've been elected, we've each and every year we've gotten more and more money. And this has kind of been the biggest amount that we've gotten. So I think momentum is on our side, and I'm confident that this delegation, along with our leadership up in Hartford with the speaker and the majority leader, will be able to make some progress on this.
And again, we're talking to State Representative Chris Rosario, who represents the 128th District, which is Bridgeport. And correct me if I'm wrong, Representative Rosario, you were elected into your seat in 2015?
2014, yes.
2014. Okay, my apologies. Sorry about that. But in over a decade, though, the ECS funding, that formula has not been touched since 2013, is my understanding. And
correct.
And while the governor on my show says that they've been putting money in, even though the formula hasn't been touched, the formula's broken. It's not up to speed. To what you're saying, to your point, there has been so much underfunding, especially in Bridgeport, and it felt like this was the first session where almost every school district was like, wait, ECS isn't working for us either. It wasn't just Bridgeport. It was everybody. And that's a culmination of a lot of things, right? You've got COVID spending that ran out. You've got things are more expensive. More and more kids need special education. More and more kids who do have special ed are being, you know, kind of sent out of their own districts to get the work that they need. That costs a lot of money for districts. Healthcare costs have gone up. So that costs a lot more for the teachers. Like, it's understandable why things are more expensive in education. My point, though, circling back, is in over a decade, why hasn't ECS formulas being adjusted or being a top priority? Why hasn't that been the case in the past for you?
Well, listen, I'll say this, and I'll stand on my soapbox, and it may be a little controversial, but as an urban legislator in a suburban dominated legislature, you know, until issues impact our outer rim suburbs, our voices are kind of drowned out. Same thing happened with the opioid crisis. The urban communities in the state of Connecticut and across the country were suffering from opioid addiction issues for generations, but until it hit the suburbs, they decided to take a look at it. We've been screaming and fighting that fight for over a decade. I personally have. And until those funding issues started hitting communities that were not of color, that's when people started to take notice. So that's just my honest opinion as an urban legislator in the state of Connecticut.
So the reason the ECS, just so I'm understanding this correctly, Representative Rosario, the reason the ECS formula, the only reason it was even brought to the attention of lawmakers during this session was because it impacted more than just a Bridgeport, a Hartford, a Waterbury, a Norwalk, a Stamford, what have you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've been, as legislators, as myself, we've been fighting this fight for a long time. And we're glad that we were finally heard and that we're making momentum on this.
Don't you feel like then that's a real fail on Governor Lamont's part?
I don't think this is, you know, squarely falls on his shoulders. I just think it's an institutional thing. It's the way the legislature runs. I've been there with under Governor Malloy. And we've made incremental changes, and we make some pretty big changes in the city of Bridgeport. It's just, you know, just hasn't been loud enough. But I'm proud of the work that we did this session, and I'm really confident of the work we're going to do going forward.
We are chatting with State Representative Chris Rosario, who represents the 128th District, which is Bridgeport. And we're talking about education spending. As many of you know, because we talk about it a lot on this show, near the end of the legislative session, it was announced that there was going to be a lot of investment in education and even municipal aid. And a lot of that was to, you know, help with obviously the high costs for a variety of things. We don't have to really go back into it. But we're talking about Bridgeport because Bridgeport made the second highest amount from the state of Connecticut. And Representative Rosario was a huge part of that for Bridgeport. So thank you so much. As we talk about education in general with education spending, Representative Rosario, I do want to talk about leadership in Bridgeport as well, because I think that's an important part of this. It's not enough just to have a bunch of money. We have to know that we have people who are going to allocate the money properly and do good things with it. I am floored that Dr. Avery has not been named the permanent superintendent yet, or that we just haven't found a permanent if we don't feel like Dr. Avery does the job well enough. I think that is a huge miss for Bridgeport, and I don't know your thoughts on that.
Well, you know, I've been in the legislature. This is my sixth term, and I can't tell you how many superintendents I've worked with and alongside. And I don't want to mean this as a slight, but for those that follow football, you know, the Cleveland Browns, they kind of switch head coaches like every year. And there's no steady leadership. And I think finally, the city of Bridgeport, we have our person. We have Dr. Avery, who's been such a joy to work with and a great communicator and a collaborator. Never have we had meetings with the delegation, the board of ed, the local city administration, working in concert together. And that's a tribute to Dr. Avery and his team, his transparency. And I think he's the person for the job. I respect the process. I respect people that may not be a fan of his. But at the end of the day, I think Dr. Avery is the right person for the job. And being such a tumultuous situation, literally at one of the lowest points that the city of Bridgeport's ever been, to kind of steady the ship and to guide the district into the situation that they're in now, I think he's done a tremendous job.
Agreed. I think that's my shock. That's kind of the shock factor here, Representative Rosario, is I can't believe he hasn't been offered the job full time. He doesn't have a contract. And I think that's crazy to me, because if you look at who came before him, I mean, and look, not to take credit for anything, but Dr. Carmela Levy-David, you know, came on my show pretty frequently, to the point that I had listeners who were like, do you know the full story here? And I took it upon myself to go and meet with 24 teachers, K through 12, private, public, all in Bridgeport. Off hours, when they were done with school, I was done with the show. We met for about 2 hours, and I had testimonies from all of them, and I played it on the show. This was weeks after that vote of no confidence came through, and there was a CEA report. It came from Bridgeport teachers, all of that. And weeks after that, she stepped down. And at that same time, we find out that Bridgeport's facing tens of millions of dollars in a deficit. And I mean, to your point, disaster, absolute disaster. I mean, in really bleak for Bridgeport schools at that point. If I was any parent of those 19,000 plus students in Bridgeport, I don't know what I would have done. I don't even know what their reaction would have been. But I know as a non-Bridgeport parent, I was pissed, to put it simply. So when you look at now, this guy has been in this role for almost, it'll be 2 years in November. I mean, I can't believe that the Department of Ed, for example, didn't want to go forward with making sure that leadership was taken care of and that this guy stays under contract, or that we make it a priority to have a good superintendent. Because basically all the changes, everything Dr. Avery has done, is not going to matter if they put somebody new into that place, or they don't vet a good person, or they don't keep Dr. Avery. I mean, what's really keeping him in Bridgeport? I think it's a real fail. It's a real miss if he leaves, honestly, at this point.
Well, listen, I agree with you. I actually had a conversation with the governor before the end of the session, and I wholeheartedly, along with the rest of the delegation, made a strong, basically a pitch that Dr. Avery is the person for the job. But at the same time, I respect the process, but I also challenge that process. I wish they can go to all 50 states and territories and find somebody that has done what Dr. Avery has done in this district, in the peril that it was, and took it out of the abyss. And literally, I'm not saying that it's all sunshine and rainbows, but it's definitely in a much better direction than it was heading just a short time ago. And I hope he stays on. I know there was an opportunity for him to leave for another district, not too far from us in Fairfield County. He decided to stay. This is a gentleman who does not have roots here in Connecticut, can easily go anywhere in the country, could go back to Texas, and is deciding to stay here as a legislator, but also when I take that hat off, you know, as a parent, both of my children went through Bridgeport Public Schools. I went through Bridgeport Public Schools, and I know the challenges that he faces, and to see that, most importantly, he cares and he listens. Those are the two important things that a superintendent can bring to the table, and those are the two qualities that he has.
I think what people don't realize, though, what is going on right now is Honestly, I'm surprised that Dr. Avery passed up that job. And the reason I say that is not because I don't respect him. He knows how I feel about him. And again, to your point, whether people like him or they don't, I think you are basically scrapping everything the last year and a half has meant, with the state getting involved, new programs, teachers getting on board, the Board of Education working with the superintendent's office. I mean, this was really kind of unheard of before Dr. Avery came into this role. And now, you know, Bridgeport's in this process. In fact, just a few weeks ago, if I can remember correctly, the Bridgeport Board of Education voted to have a Delaware-based consulting firm look at, you know, doing a full superintendent search. So we're now paying money for a consulting firm to look for a new superintendent when it could ultimately be Dr. Avery. It may not be, but it could be. And basically the Department of Ed is like, yeah, we're giving you a deadline to select a search firm and then go through it. Why? Why are we doing this? We're just spending more money unnecessarily. We're doing a search to delay a process and potentially lose a really good candidate who's already committed to staying with Bridgeport, even when he wasn't promised the job. I don't really understand how Bridgeport's doing this. This doesn't make actually any sense to me, quite frankly.
Well, listen, you know, I'm confident and I agree. I respect and trust the process. I wish we could just appoint him. But I'm confident that, you know, he's going to come out on top, and he's going to be a great candidate. I'm glad that we have him.
I mean, I am too. I just kind of hate the fact that we're spending money to try to just reiterate something we already know. I don't get that.
I personally, I've seen him do work in the district. I haven't seen anyone else do. He's engaged with the parents. When you go and you speak, right before the end of session, right before the end of the school year, I did an event over at the Geraldine Johnson School, and the way he just responds to the children, to the administrators, to the teachers and their needs. It's a breath of fresh air. And again, I agree with you, and I think he's the person for the job.
But when you went to the governor, even the commissioner of the Department of Ed, Representative Rosario, they didn't agree that we can't do things differently, especially with the state being involved with Bridgeport, that we couldn't have sped up this process, or we couldn't have, you know, saved some money trying to do a search. They didn't agree with that.
I understand that we all want to appoint him, but as his predecessor, you know, as you mentioned, they left us in such a dire situation that when we, you know, when he was appointed, we didn't know what he's going to be. So those were kind of the safeguards in place because of the situation we were left in by his predecessor. But I'm glad that we got a chance and an opportunity to see him work, to do what he does in the district. And I really think he's a national model of what to do when the district is in distress. I've never seen anybody do the work that he's done, and especially with the delegation. He's had a great relationship with each and every member of the delegation, both House and Senate. It's bicameral, bipartisan. I know he works with people across the aisle. And he's definitely he's a great leader.
Yeah. Well, let's hope that Bridgeport doesn't lose a great leader. So I guess we'll see what happens. Representative Rosario, thank you so much for giving us the time here on WICC, and keep us posted on what happens next. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Take care.
You too.